This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. That, of course, was the theme song to one of the most important TV shows of the last quarter century, The Sopranos. We lost James Gandolfini, the guy who played Tony Soprano, to a heart attack in Italy a couple of days ago at the age of 51. I still remember when the first episode of The Sopranos hit the airwaves. It started with Tony Soprano walking down the long driveway from his house to go pick up the morning paper in just his bathrobe and shorts and slippers. The newspaper he picked up that day was the Newark Star-Ledger, and at the time, my next guest was the TV critic for that newspaper. He has since moved on to HitFix.com, where he writes a TV column called What's Alan Watching? You've heard him on this show before, because just a few weeks ago, we talked about the paperback release of his book, The Revolution Was Televised, which talks about the importance of The Soprano in kicking off an era of great TV drama. Alan, welcome back to America Weekend.
Paul, thanks for having me.
How cool was it seeing your newspaper on The Sopranos in the very first scene?
It was very cool. I mean, among other things, we knew about it well in advance because they needed help making those mock-up papers. But also, I happened to be working for an editor who had roomed with James Gandolfini when they were freshmen at Rutgers, and he's the one who put the dent in Jim Pedd when they were just horsing around in the dorm. So we had a lot of ties to that show in the early days.
All right, Bryan Cranston, who plays Walter White on Breaking Bad, which will have its final season starting in August, he said how sad he was about James Gandolfini's death this week, and he said, quote, "Without Tony Soprano, there is no Walter White." How true is that?
That's 100% true. Before The Sopranos, there had been sort of these unwritten rules in television about how likable and relatable your main characters had to be, and you could have sort of flawed heroes, people like Andy Sipowicz on NYPD Blue, but it could only be so flawed, and ultimately they had to be revealed to be good people who were sort of working to overcome their demons. But then The Sopranos comes along, and Tony was unapologetically Tony Soprano, and he had a few good qualities, but for the most part, he was a monster and a sociopath, and the show didn't shy away from it, and James Gandolfini's performance certainly didn't shy away from it. But it was a huge hit, and suddenly everyone in the business said, hey, wait a minute, maybe we were wrong about that rule, and suddenly we got 6 Feet Under and Deadwood and The Wire and The Shield and all the way up to Mad Men and Breaking Bad.
Yeah. How much of that was James Gandolfini as opposed to the showrunner and creator, David Chase?
It was a lot of both, but David Chase told me when I was working on the book, among other things, the show could have gone in a lot of different directions, and initially, at one point, he was even thinking of it as a live-action Simpsons. And then Gandolfini came into audition, and he said, okay, this show can be many things, but with him, it's not a live-action Simpsons. It's serious. And then when they were filming the pilot episode, there's this memorable moment where Christopher tells Tony he wants to go to L.A. to write a screenplay, and in the script, Tony is just supposed to slap him lightly across the face and say, hey, don't do that. And Gandolfini improvised, and he just picked Michael Imperioli up off the floor and banged him into a wall and said, don't do this. And David Chase watched that, and that set the tone for who Tony Soprano was going forward.
Now I'm curious, who were the other people up for the part?
There were two. There was Steve Van Zandt, believe it or not. That was Chase's original idea because he was a big E Street Band fan. And the other was an actor named Michael Rispoli, who wound up ultimately playing Jackie Aprile for a few episodes in the first season, and in both those cases, the show would have been a much more overt comedy.
Yeah, I can't even see Steven Van Zandt. Obviously, he was great as Silvio, the consigliere to the Soprano family, and to Tony in particular, but of course, it's hard to say after a show's been off the air for several years and we've seen one guy playing that role, but I just can't see anybody else in that role.
That's right.
Yeah.
Gandolfini was perfect actor, perfect role.
Okay, so after The Sopranos, he went on to do a bunch of movies, including playing Leon Panetta last year in the Academy Award-winning Zero Dark Thirty. Did he suffer from Tony-itis?
I think there was a sense that the business didn't know what to do with him. He was older, by the time he became famous. He was heavyset. He was bald. These are not the sorts of qualities you necessarily think of when you're thinking of someone who you want to make into a movie star. So basically he was also really well known as Tony Soprano. And so the best they could do was he wound up being a supporting player in other people's movies. And even then when he was, I would be in the theater a lot when Gandolfini would show up in something. When he turned up as Leon Panetta in Zero Dark Thirty, several people in the theater laughed.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, because this is a man who is a great, great actor. But he was so heavily defined as Tony because no one knew him before that show, and thus he became Tony Soprano. And so anything you would watch him in, it's, oh, hey, it's Tony Soprano is the Secretary of Defense, or Tony Soprano is a gay hitman, or whatever.
Yeah, I witnessed the exact same reaction when I saw Zero Dark Thirty. There were titters in the audience from people who couldn't get past the fact that, oh, he's not playing a character. It's the one guy we know him as. Let's talk about his acting on the show. You gave the example of the scene where he was doing the, picking up Christopher and slapping him against the wall. But the thing that always got me about him in that role more than anything was that he was able to play the multifaceted character that was Tony Soprano. How he could be the serious guy sitting there with Lorraine Bracco in those therapy sessions and look almost contrite at times, and in the next scene he's this murderous thug. That was something you don't see a lot of actors able to pull off.
No, that's absolutely the case, and he went for it. He just embodied so many of the qualities of the character, and we found ourselves liking him because Gandolfini had so much charisma that I remember sort of in the later seasons when the show became much more overt about just how bad and unrepentant Tony was, a lot of viewers had trouble accepting that because they had fallen in love with the guy.
Yep. He was nominated for 6 Emmy Awards, and he won 3 times. And I know that he was also nominated 6 times for TV Critics Association Awards and won 3 times. Did you ever encounter him at any of your TCA meetings?
Yeah, I encountered him. Gandolfini was a guy who didn't really like the press, and there's a lot of actors who are like that. Most of the time, though, it comes across as a kind of snottiness, don't touch me, don't look at me. Gandolfini was just, he was oddly shy. He was uncomfortable about the idea that anyone was interested in anything he had to say when he wasn't in character. He told my old partner Matt Seitz one time, people don't go up to truck drivers and ask them about how they do what they do. And that's sort of how he viewed himself. And so he just really had an extreme discomfort about discussing himself and what he did. He did a few interviews here and there, that great Inside the Actors Studio. But, I can't say that I got to know him well, because I don't think anyone in the press did. But everyone I knew on The Sopranos and every actor I know who encountered him otherwise, has nothing but raves about him and how generous he was and how thoughtful he was. And, it's a big loss as a person, in addition to the fact that he was this incredible actor.
Let me play a quick clip from Tony Soprano here with James Gandolfini as Tony Soprano with Jamie Lynn Sigler as his daughter Meadow on a trip to college.
Are you in the mafia?
Am I in the what?
Whatever you want to call it, organized crime.
That's total crap. Who told you that?
Dad, I've lived in the house all my life. I've seen police come with warrants. I've seen you going out at 3 in the morning.
So you never seen Doc Cusimano go out at 3 in the morning on a call?
Did the Cusimano kids ever find $50,000 in Krugerrands and a .45 automatic while they were hunting for Easter eggs?
I'm in the waste management business. Everybody immediately assumes you're mobbed up. It's a stereotype, and it's offensive. And you're the last person I would want to perpetuate it.
Fine.
There is no mafia. All right, look. Med, you're a grown woman. Almost. Some of my money comes from illegal gambling and whatnot. How does that make you feel?
At least you don't keep denying it like Mom. Kids in school think it's actually kind of neat.
Seen The Godfather, right?
Not really. Casino we like. Sharon Stone, 70s clothes, pills.
I'm not asking about those bums. I'm asking about you.
Sometimes I wish you were like other dads. Then like Mr. Scangarello, for example. An advertising executive for Big Tobacco. Or lawyers. Ugh, so many dads are full of shit.
And I'm not.
Finally told the truth about this.
Look, man, part of my income comes from legitimate businesses. the stock market.
Look, Dad, please, okay? Don't start mealy-mouthing.
Now, to me, that is the quintessential moment there where he has to play the loving dad and the mafia boss. And that, to me, was the heart of it. And the way Gandolfini played that scene, trying to be tender with his daughter, but also upset that she might have been exposed to this horrible world that he lives in every single day. That was the heart of Gandolfini in that role, Alan.
And it absolutely is, but that's also the same episode where he strangles the guy to death when he's taking her on the college tour and he spots Febby the Rat in witness protection. And he decides, all right, I'm going to kill this guy and I'm going to do it with my bare hands, and not because he's a threat to me, but just because I want to. So that was the show sort of demonstrating the two sides of Tony, that he, on the one hand, he's someone who would kill a guy in that way. And on the other, he's someone who cares about his daughter and is really troubled by the fact that she's aware of what he does for a living.
Yep. And yet still can get back in the car after killing the guy and still be the dad worried about his daughter and are you going to go to this college or not, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was really a remarkable performance, and it did set the standard for so many others that have come in the last decade and so many more that will continue to come forward. James Gandolfini dead this week at the age of 51. Alan Sepinwall, his book goes into this and much, much more. It's called The Revolution Was Televised. You can also read his reviews at hitfix.com. Always a pleasure, Alan. Thanks for joining me here today. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks.